In every age in which books have been produced, the governing class, the respectable, have been opposed to the works of real genius. Robert Greene Ingersoll.
Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful week.
Yep.
I did.
Did you now?
Mostly. I'm still sore.
I'm going to say it was uneventful again, which we like.
Yeah, so far. Well, that's going to come to an end soon, I think.
Oh, it will?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm back to work. I'm back to work.
Things are going to...
Semi-normal.
Right. Which also means that we're taking, or already did, take down the donation thingy.
No, it's still up. I'll leave it up for another week.
No.
I'll take it down.
No, we're taking it down. And...
Fine. I'll leave it up for a couple more days, and then I'll take it down. Just in case someone wants to get a last-minute donation.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, one bad thing, though, is going back to work. When you did, you're going to be in the middle of the pay period kind of thing. So it's going to be a partial check. That's always crap.
I'm aware
but
of that.
But it needs to be taken down now that you're back to work.
I agree.
Because that was the point. And thank you to everyone who did donate. You have no idea what a difference it made.
Yeah, huge difference.
No idea. But, and now that comes to an end and you're back to work and you finish up your physical therapy for the next, what?
Month
six,
and a half.
8 weeks, something like that.
Yeah. Of physical terrorism.
Yeah. Yeah, they do things that he doesn't like. Moving.
They touch me.
That doesn't sound right at all. In so many ways.
I'm sorry. All right, they touch my knee.
Yeah, they move your knee in positions that freak him out dramatically. And soon, I'm assuming, you'll start doing like the harder...
Start doing actual exercises.
Yeah, the physical, like... thingy parts and whatnot.
Anyways,
plus you have to do your job.
That's enough of that.
Yeah, that's kind of boring and annoying. All right,
we have some Twitterers this week.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, we have Mary Newton Mess. Mm-hmm. Step up to higher ed, thinking rationally, and AJ Mora. I don't know.
He apologizes.
I do.
We're back to that again.
Yeah, well, that's a tough name.
He butchers, but...
You try it.
I have no place to talk, so... Right. I'll just keep my mouth shut.
And you can follow us also at Secular Yakking. I'm not even going to ask.
Oh, yeah, you didn't ask me. Good job.
And we also have a voicemail from listener Alan talking about one of the subjects from last week's show.
Okay.
Hey, Robert, Amy. This is Alan. I'm calling about the part of your show about prisoners and paying wages. Actually, you don't have to pay anyone wages when you're in prison because the 13th Amendment still allows for slavery of prisoners. So that's one of the reasons why we have one of the largest prison populations on the planet, because it's cheaper to have people work in a factory when you don't have to pay them wages. Okay, bye.
That is a very fine point. The 13th Amendment does actually say that if you are incarcerated for a crime, then you can be made to work.
And I'm surprised you didn't remember that.
I did not remember that.
But I'm glad. I'm glad when people call in and check us on stuff and,
yes,
you know, give a heads up to what we were talking about because it helps.
Absolutely.
It makes a difference.
It does. So now everybody knows, or at least everybody that listens to this.
That's interesting, though, that, in a way it makes sense. I mean, completely. But it kind of sucks that the particular guy was using it more for his benefit, more than, say, working like on trash duty on the freeway kind of thing.
Right.
You know? So I think, you know, with them being able to do that and not pay a wage, fine, but it shouldn't be for, say, you know, one particular personal benefit, you know?
Yeah.
It should be like community service type of job.
It should be. Well, who's considering that community service type jobs, I'm assuming?
Washing his car.
Washing the police cars, cleaning the police station, you know, things like that. I'm assuming that's community service type work.
Okay, sure.
But the fact that he didn't want to get rid of the good ones specifically for that reason is what frustrated me.
Now that seems somewhat wrong.
Yes.
Actually, that seems a lot wrong. But anyways, on to new news.
Into new news.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Sure.
World War I Memorial Cross ruled unconstitutional.
Okay.
So back in 1925, the American Legion erected a memorial in Bladensburg, Maryland, to honor the memory of 49 men who perished during World War I.
Okay.
The 40-foot-tall memorial became known as the Peace Cross.
Uh-huh.
In 2014, the American Humanist Association, a group that believes in being good without God, filed a lawsuit alleging the cross-shaped memorial is unconstitutional and demanding it be demolished, altered, or removed.
Okay. I'm just contemplating what my thoughts are.
Okay. The lawsuit stated that the cross carries, quote, an inherently religious message and creates the unmistakable appearance of honoring only Christian servicemen.
Okay, I can see that.
The court said the memorial excessively entangles the government in religion because the cross is, quote, the core symbol of Christianity and breaches the wall of separation of church and state.
Okay, I get that.
But, of course, everyone's not happy.
Uh-huh.
First Liberty Institute attorney Hiram Cesar said, today's decision sets a dangerous precedent by completely ignoring history, and it threatens removal and destruction of veterans' memorials across America.
Well, I have a question.
Okay.
Now, are they planning to replace it with some kind of memorial? Because I don't think removing it entirely is...
That's up to the city.
Okay.
If they want to replace it with something secular, that's fine.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You shouldn't just remove a memorial completely. You should still have
history
and
the problem is it's the only thing there. There's no other thing denoting it as a veteran memorial.
Where was this again?
This is Maryland.
Okay.
So it's this ginormous cross. It's literally 40 foot tall.
I get that. I've seen a few.
And it's the only thing there. It's not like there's other symbols of the veterans. Their names are on it.
On the cross itself.
Right. So the whole idea is that since it only is the cross is the symbol of Christianity.
No, I get that. Right? I totally get that.
That it crosses the line by saying, you know, this is only for Christian soldiers.
Right, and excludes any that were not Christian.
Right.
Right. I agree with it shouldn't be there in that way, but I think that it needs to have something there honoring them.
Or, you know, really, they just want it moved. Moved to private property. They don't care about it being on
private. Where was it? Did it say where it was sitting at?
It's on city property on the side of the road.
Oh, okay. Okay.
If I remember right.
So did they just willy-nilly stick it somewhere? I mean, was there some significance to where they put it?
No, it's just there. They put it on city property in 1925 because they could. No one cared.
All right.
But now someone actually does care.
Right. Because it should honor all men and women who were lost, not just whomever.
Right.
You know, just one particular religion.
This guy, Hiram, says that it sets a dangerous precedent that they're going to remove veterans' memorials across America. That's not true.
No, that's not true
in any
way.
That's only true if it's specifically religious.
Right, and it's not that they're asking to remove memorials entirely or the history of it. It's when you have a religious memorial like that, they just want something that is a secular thing. Like, you know, something in the form of a book with all the names on it, or something in the form of a piece of parchment paper, kind of, you know, just something that's not any religious symbol.
There is something that is almost always acceptable as a veteran's memorial, and that is figure of a soldier kneeling in front of a gun with a helmet on top of it.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
That's the veterans.
Yeah, see, that to me would make total sense.
Right,
because you would
grave.
Not equate any religion to that in any way,
exactly.
Shape, or form.
That's been accepted almost universally everywhere, as far as I know.
No, that's true. I do. I've seen several, actually, now that you mentioned that. So, yeah, something in that way, and then it has, you know, the plaque on it with all the names on the bottom kind of deal.
Yeah.
That, to me, makes a whole lot more sense. They always equate things like that with the cross because they equate the death with crosses. And,
right. I've actually been told that it's not the symbol of Christianity. It's the symbol of death. Like, mm-mm. Well, technically, yes.
Well,
it is.
Well, then at the same
device.
Time, you could also say the Red Cross. You know,
the Red Cross is different. It's
a
different shape.
No, I know, but you know, with the little snake symbol around, you know, anything you could say the letter T in, you know, Taco Bell is a cross or something if it wasn't capitalized.
I mean, that's true.
The lowercase. But seriously, I mean, just anything. So, like, for instance, with the veterans, if you took that statue, that symbol, you know, of the soldier kneeling, you would have never had your mind go to any religion when you first looked at it.
Right.
Because when you tell someone, okay, tell me the first thing that comes to your mind, and you show them an image.
Well, the beautiful thing is,
you wouldn't have come to that.
The thing about that is it applies to all religions and none. So a Christian can walk up and say, oh, this soldier's making a Christian prayer. Right?
That's true.
A Muslim soldier could walk up and say, oh, he's making a Muslim prayer.
That's true. Or someone who is a non-religious could
just always honoring his friend.
Right.
His fallen comrade.
It's like moment of silence type deal.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it makes it. I don't see any religious thing attached to it whatsoever when I look at it.
I agree, and that's the way they should go.
But hopefully, if they do take it down, that they, you know, replace it with something secular, you know, that's all inclusive, or like you said, move it to private property, and it doesn't matter.
Right.
So.
Anyways.
Yes.
I'm on to stand or not to stand.
That is the question.
It is. A small Oklahoma school district has adopted a new policy that dictates how students should behave during the national anthem.
Oh, they're going to tell them what they can and can't do?
The new policy at Stewart Public Schools, which is about 20 minutes west of McAllister. I don't even know where that is. Says that students, athletes, and spectators are expected to stand during the national anthem.
Oh, wait a minute. So also the people who are visiting the school.
Yes, the spectators. The policy specifies that no gestures of demonstration or protest are allowed.
Oh, bullshit. You have every right to do what you want.
Yeah. Superintendent Tracy Blazingame says the policy was created out of respect for fallen soldiers. He adds the whole community is very patriotic, and a war memorial is one of the first things visitors see when they drive into town.
That is not the point of this.
Yeah. The policy says student violations will be handled on a case-by-case basis. Blazingame says the school won't punish students who don't stand during the national anthem.
They have a right to not stand or stand. That's why these soldiers fought and died, for Americans to have the rights that they have. Why do they constantly ignore this crap?
So, he also says, when our policy states that our student athletes, students, and patrons are expected to stand, that is simply it. We have expectations of our students, whether that is making good grades, being polite, courteous, and respectful, or being good citizens.
So they're basically saying it's still an option?
Still an option.
It's their choice. But we would like to see you do this.
We expect you to do this. And I'm imagining in a town like this, the expectation is more than an expectation.
Yeah, you'll get that ostracizing going on if you don't.
Or maybe your grades might suffer.
Your grades suffered. We've had, unfortunately, kids who have had issues with that. With teachers messing with their grades for not doing what they wanted.
Yep.
And usually it was something with this kind of thing also.
It was this kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
And
well, I'm also, before you start, that I'm also thinking other students bullying students who are trying to, because that's kind of encouraging bullying right there.
Exactly.
And picking and, you know, whatnot.
Yeah. The ACLU says the public schools can't legally implement such policies, calling it unconstitutional.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
It's kind of a no-brainer. I mean, the fact that they keep doing this.
Supreme Court decided this in 1943. We cannot require school kids or technically anybody to stand for a pledge or the anthem. We cannot force patriotism onto our children.
And you know, even more so, if you want someone to be patriotic, the last thing you do is force it on them.
Right,
because that's how you
incite a rebellion,
right,
by the way.
You never force, then it's also not true patriotism.
No, it's not.
And technically, these kids, people, whatever, that are doing the opposite for the national anthem, whether kneeling or sitting or not standing, you know, whatever, they're actually showing more patriotism by exercising the right that those veterans fought for.
I agree.
Not to mention, didn't this start out as a racial thing,
It started out as it was Colin Kaepernick, and he decided to sit down against racial injustice from the government and police departments.
And then they swung it to patriotic because of the national anthem.
Right, because he did it during the national anthem, he was disrespecting soldiers. Someone had to change the story, is what happened.
Uh-huh.
This is my theory on this, and lots of other people have said the same thing.
Uh-huh.
They couldn't fight the racial injustice part, right? So they couldn't say, well, you're just being crazy. That's not true.
Uh-huh.
So what they did is they took and changed the narrative to where it was against It was against soldiers, and it completely changed the discussion. It no longer was about racial injustice.
No,
it was
not.
About patriotism. And we're still talking about it that way, which is horrible, because we should be talking about the reason that it's there.
The reason now, it was recently, started in the first places.
Now, more recently, it is, it has become, I think, more of a situation where we're talking about opposing fascism now.
Right.
A lot more are coming around to saying, well, you can't force patriotism, so I'm going to show you why you can't force patriotism.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and I think that's kind of where it's going.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the racial injustice is still there. The people that originally started it are still doing it. And there are those that are still doing it for the racial injustice. But I'm pretty sure there's a fair number of them that are doing it to oppose the fascism part of it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I get that.
So.
Anyways. That's just ridiculous that we're even doing that.
I know. Here's another good one for you.
Okay.
Can you be good without God?
I can answer that.
Well, more Americans agree with you.
Good.
For the first time, the majority of Americans, 56%, say it's possible to be a good person without a religious belief.
So 56%? 56%. That's
good. The new Pew Research Center data drawn from two polls conducted among about 5,000 American adults in June and July.
Okay.
And it's Greg Smith. Says this, God is not a prerequisite for good values and morality. He said in a post about the foundings, the public increased rejection of the idea that belief in God is necessary for morality is due in large part to the spike in the share of Americans who are religious nuns. And nuns account for about 23% of American adults, up from 16% in 2007.
Oh, okay.
Also in a current poll, in the same poll, Protestants and Catholics were also polled, and 45% of them agree that God is not necessarily for the personal morality.
Well, that's interesting.
Up from 42% in 2011.
That's very interesting. Seems all the way around, everybody's gone up in their percentage.
Even white evangelicals.
Really?
Yeah, who traditionally believe a relationship with God is crucial to morality, have moved. In 2011, one quarter of them, 26%, said it was possibly good without God. Well, now almost a third, 32%, say the same thing.
No kidding. Yeah, that's a big jump, too. 26 to 32 in evangelical?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Well, and so the fact that several different points of view, but including evangelicals, that definitely shows a slide to...
Well,
and
it's because we're being more active, right?
Uh-huh.
People know...
They're hearing more of it.
Right. And the fact that, you know, they know a lot more people who don't have a belief in God.
And I think it has a lot to do with younger people. I really do. With them, they're growing up and being able to research things for themselves and not hear just what someone has to tell them all the time. And, you know, the whole, okay, that doesn't make sense, I'm going to look that up. You know, that kind of thing.
And that's another big thing, this age of information we live in.
Right.
Instant information. I mean, you can fact check someone on the street right there.
Right.
Like, no, it doesn't say that.
And you can't hide anything. So when you have, you know, some kind of authority figure, whether it's a preacher or just a teacher or whatever, if they're spewing out crap, you can look it up.
Right.
Or you can look up their history and see what kind of person they have always been.
And see if they have become
if they seem an honest person, or are we talking crap out of our butt kind of people?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and the rise in what the immoral class of religious people.
Well, that's the other thing. They're swinging so far the other way that, you know, a lot of people are just like, this is just wrong. And, you know, more people kind of going in that direction,
right.
You know?
Yeah. The televangelists aren't helping their case at all.
I know. And then when you get the violent one, you know, following through with any violence and stuff or something just cruel and, you know, you hear on the news because you get media feed so quickly, if something like a hate crime type of deal happen, it allows younger people to be able to, you know, see stuff like that and say that is wrong.
Yeah,
and I will not let that happen.
I actually think hate crime has gone down.
Oh, uh-huh.
We just know about it more.
Yeah, because of...
I don't think hate crime is going up. I just think we're more aware of it now. If you go back through history and classify hate crimes on the same level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hate crimes were way worse in 100 years ago.
I can see that, because technically, overall, the majority are good people. It's the minority that aren't, but yet they get so publicized because one thing media feeds on is whatever nasty they can find.
Yeah,
so
whatever gets them
they
ratings.
Blow that up, you know.
You know,
yeah, the ratings. That's what it's all about.
It's all about ratings.
Truly.
Oh, look at that. You fell for that, too. I can't believe it, man.
I really like that.
Yeah.
It's funny. Anyways.
Well, if you're looking for a mashup of world religions, New Age, Hokum, and far-right nationalism, the Japanese cult of happy science is for you.
Oh, so is this what we do in our Can't Believe You Fell for That?
Yeah, we find
the bizarro religions.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be what we're doing.
It was founded in 1986 by Ryu Okawa.
Oh, I doubt you said that right, but sure. Moving on.
A former Star Trader, stock trader.
You're like, wait, Star Trek?
who was enraptured by a group called God Light Association. He soon formed his own cult.
Cult of personality.
Called the Science of Happiness.
Well, that's not very creative, but okay.
And changed its name to Happy Science a few years later.
That's even worse.
Happy Science believers have a strong faith in the god of Earth, El Kantare. I'm not sure why a Japanese person is using
Spanish. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
El Kantare.
Yeah. A part of him was born Shakyamuni Buddha.
And a big S-word Buddha.
Yeah. In the Old Testament, El Kantare is known as Elohim.
Kantare,
I don't know. And he also represents ancient legend of the Tree of Life. They believe all religions originally came from one source, El Kantare. the being that designed the world with love, and a part of El Kantare resides within Master Okawa. And is guiding humanity to create a world of harmony and prosperity.
So I phased out through that. What exactly did you say?
They basically believe that all the world religions have led to this one religion, which is the true one.
Oh, don't they all say that?
That their deity, uh-huh, right, has been all the deities of all the religions of all
the
world.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, that's very New Age.
Not really. I hear a lot of some other religions are coming to mind in that, but sure.
They believe that El Kantare has been coming to Earth in human form for thousands of years. 17,000 years ago, as La Mu in Mu continent. 12,000 years ago, as Thoth in Atlantis.
Revenge of the Nerds. La Mu.
La Mu. Yeah.
Anyways.
7,000 years ago, as Rient Aral Crowd in ancient ancient Incan Empire.
I would say crowd.
Crude.
Crowd.
Crowd. There's no W in there.
Like cloud?
Whatever. 6,500 years ago as Ophelius in Greece. Mm-hmm. 4,300 years ago as Hermes in Greece also. And 2,500 years ago as Gautama Siddhartha.
Yeah, sure.
And Master Ryu Okawa is the reincarnation of the highly revered Shakyamuni Buddha. Yeah, so the current incarnation of El Kantare is... Oddly enough,
you could so make up anything you absolutely can think of and call it a religion. I mean, sky, your imagination's
you know
the limit, truly.
You know what I should do? I should just make one up for this and see if anybody catches me.
You'll never know if this is the real thing or is this a fake.
That is true.
That could actually be a game. Yeah.
They do have some major holidays, though.
Do they now?
Yes. Somehow those holidays are always related to something Okawa did.
Of course.
The day of our establishment as a religious organization was on March 7th, 1991. Mm. The day of Great Enlightenment is March 23rd, which is when Master Ryoyu Okawa achieved Great Enlightenment in 1981. Celebration of the Lord's Descent, July 7th, is when Master Ryoyu Okawa was born in Tokushima, Japan.
Uh-huh.
At 7:07 a.m., by the way.
In 56.
In 1956. Mm-hmm. Commemoration of founding Happy Science, October 6th. Happy Science was established and opened its first office in that town. In Tokyo.
Words in one town.
Yeah. Near Tokyo on October 6th, 1986. Celebration of the first turning of the Dharma wheel was November 23rd, which happened to be the day Master Okawa gave his first lecture in town, Tokyo. they also celebrate New Year in December by going to the temple and reflecting on the past year and pledge to have a good New Year.
Uh-huh.
So, every single holiday is related to Master Okawa.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of cuckoo.
Kind of cuckoo. But there's another secret, though.
Okay.
This church has a political wing.
Oh, now do they?
Called the Happiness Realization Party, which promotes political views that include support for Japanese military expansion, support for the use of nuclear power, and denial of historical events such as the Nanjing Massacre in China, which is something that happened in the early 20th century. That's the Japanese killed millions of Chinamen.
Okay.
They also advocate fiscal conservatism, strengthening U.S.-Japan alliance, and a virtue-based leadership.
Uh-huh.
Sound familiar?
Yeah.
As of the end of 2016, the Happiness Realization Party had 9 local counselors, but it has yet to have anyone elected.
So they made the shit up.
Yeah.
Okay.
It shouldn't come as no surprise that Okawa is also the president of the party.
Well, there's a surprise. I didn't see that one coming.
That party has even formed links to the American right.
Surprise again.
Having attended the Conservative Political Action Conference in 2012 and bringing with them members of the Tokyo Tea Party.
That's creative.
And I know by now you're just asking me, how can I join this wonderful thing?
Oh, yes. I cannot wait to go.
It's real easy. Mm-hmm. Just send them $10 to begin and they'll send you a starter pack.
Okay.
Then you can move up to devotee membership level by reading the teachings of Okawa in a series of 4 books, which you can buy at the temple or online.
Of course.
Just be aware that a ceremony will be held in accordance with the type of membership you choose, whether it's member or devotee member.
Uh-huh.
And if you're truly devoted, you can always attend a lecture by the founder Okawa, and that's where it gets weird.
Okay. It's not weird already.
In his lectures, he conducts space people readings.
What?
Or the channeling to the souls whose origins or past lives are from other stars and planets to gather information on other life forms in the universe.
Wow, this just took a turn.
In a lecture given at Yokohama Arena December 4th, 2010, Master Okawa declared that one of his missions amongst many is to develop a civilization of mankind further enough so that we may enter space age.
So we totally took a turn into the space warp.
A number of extraterrestrial beings are living on Earth today and are waiting for mankind to rise to a level in which they can begin communicating and interacting with them on an equal ground. The laws of the universe is the foundation upon which human beings will be able to communicate with and understand other beings from outer space.
You know, and the whole time you were reading about this religion, the whole time I kept thinking, well, it's not one of those frou-frou spacey ones.
It turns out it is.
Turns out it is.
Yeah.
Because it certainly didn't sound like it for the first part. It sounded like
a reasonable cult of personality, you know, just someone got really popular, started religion, right?
Political and undertones.
And then it goes weird with...
And then it went sideways.
We have aliens living among us, and there's men in black.
I'm telling you, the imagination is the limit. You can make any religion you want.
Literally, this guy did. 1986, he created a whole new religion.
You could totally have Twizzler people living on marshmallow land.
Like I said, I'm going to do it sometime and see if someone catches me. I'm just going to make one up.
It sounds like a lot of work.
It is, but it might be fun.
I'm so done.
I know. I'm. That's enough yakking for this week.
Yeah, I got a yakking headache. Next week.
Yep, next week. We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
My input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Patreon page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!
Think it'll work?
It would take a minute.
Bye-bye! Bye.